Hey guys, it's Jess with a quick soundbite. Sorry, I haven't uploaded anything in a while. It's been a busy month. but I wanted to record a little blurb today about coaching parents. I think especially this time of year, being the fall with kids going back to school and all the challenges that that brings and the differences in their behavior between school, therapy, and home, I think it's important to touch base. And I know we've had a number of kind of difficult parent situations in the clinic in the relatively recent past, so it's always good to refresh. I've worked with a number of challenging parents over time, and we have and will continue to always have parents who are overbearing, who cue too much, give too much help, don't give enough help, might themselves be triggers for their child's regulation issues. And the parents are really, as we've said many times before, they are our other patient. You know, we're not just treating the child. We have to also treat the parent, because without that, we really can't make good progress with the child, especially if you're working on things like engagement regulation, but really with anything that we address in the clinic. So I always first start with just education, just educating the parent on where their child's areas of difficulty and how that's impacting the behaviors or the challenges that they're seeing in their child. That, I think, is very powerful. And I'll start with just general strategies. Try A, B, C, D at home, you know, try using less language, try using a quiet voice, you know, repeat your language, fewer auditory cues, use more visuals, you know, just general stuff. But I think we run into an issue a lot of times when either, well, I would say usually parents, they get it at the level of theory, right? They can have a conversation and go, yeah, no, I totally understand. That makes sense. I know I need to use more visuals. I know I need to use less language, or, you know, whatever strategy you're giving them. I know I need to incorporate more movement. But the problem lies in executing that. And we probably have the same issue when we're learning new things as therapists as well, right? I'm sure a lot of you can reflect back on your times, you know, learning DIR in the early days, where you understood it on paper. At least this is how I was. I understood it on paper. I could tell you what the levels were. I like totally knew everything, but actually applying it was very different. And it's because we have to be able to self-reflect on the way we interact with the kids we work with, or as a parent, how we react and interact with our child, and do it in the moment to make a change. On top of that, we have to also make a change to a habit in an interaction that's been ongoing for, you know, however long they've had the child. So those, I think, are really big barriers when we're working with parents. So you might educate first, because some parents just don't know. And sometimes you just give them the education and that helps. And then you don't really have to do a whole lot of other supporting with the parent. But some parents need a lot more hand-holding. So there are different ways that I cue them in the moment. There are different strategies that I've used to get them involved in the sessions. And in some situations, I've also had very direct, open conversations about parenting styles with the parent. So I'm going to give you some examples of those. As far as getting the parent involved in the session, I always go like less, the least involvement, I guess, needed. But when I get to a point with a child, especially where I'm starting to feel like there's a difference between home and therapy, and that the parent really needs better skills to help the child, that's when I might start suggesting that the parent run the session, run an activity, or even record things at home, and I will coach them in the moment. So I did this once with the patient where, you know, he got to a point where he was regulating really well with me. I felt like we had really good strategies, and I understood how I needed to work with him to regulate him. So I then followed up with the parent and I said, I'm using, you know, a firm tone of voice, short phrases. I'm not asking questions. I'm using really direct language with him. We're using a visual schedule. I'm preparing him for expectations. Like, I'm giving her all the specifics. And week after week after week, she come in, we're still having issues. We're still having issues. We're still having issues. So I had the benefit at that time of we had been doing some virtual sessions because of COVID. So I knew from that mom was a very, very passive parent, like quite passive. And the child really needed to have more of a firmer tone and just a little more structure and clear expectation. And that's where the breakdown was starting to become. That was really the primary issue anymore. So I said, you know, I notice, I said to the parent, I noticed that, you know, your tone of voice is a little bit softer when you're giving him a direction. And I find that when I work with him, he seems to respond better when I use a little more firm tone of voice. So let's try that. Let's practice it. And, you know, she was really having a hard time. So one day I said, I think what we should try is, and I just acknowledged to her very openly, like, trying to change. I'm like, this doesn't seem to really be like your personality. Like, she just was a very sweet person. So I think, you know, it's hard to change any way that we interact with people. So I'm like, let's try practicing it. So I would give her the list of activities for the day. And I'm like, here's what we're going to do. You kind of walk him through it, make sure he gets, basically make sure he ends these tasks by these certain times and gets shoes on at this certain time. So she had to support him through all these transitions. And then we finally started to see more behaviors pop up. And then I could practice with mom and cue her in the moment, and I could cue her and say, try it with a more firm tone of voice, or try it with fewer language, or try it with a statement instead of a question. And she got better. They still needed some support, but it definitely helped. Then when I'm coaching a parent in a session, or even when I'm just discussing like strategies to try at home, I try to use a lot of really gentle verbiage, because parents can be very defensive and very sensitive to feedback. I think it's very easy as a parent to interpret someone's feedback as judgment or being dismissed. I can say, even like myself, and people have given me advice on my own daughter, there are times when I take it probably much more offensively than when someone means it, where I'm like, well, you don't know. So I try to use really gentle language and approach it like, we are this collaborative partnership, and I'm here to help you. You're your expert in your child. You know what you've already tried before, and I'm just making suggestions based on things that have helped me in the past. So I try to always use I wonder statements, just like I do with the kids. Like, I wonder what would happen if we focus more on the emotions instead of the behavior, you know? I wonder what would happen if we just ignored the hitting and we instead labeled the emotion that we think is happening underneath and really focus on empathizing with him. That might be how I would basically tell a parent, you know, don't focus on the behavior. I might say phrases like, well, you could also try this, you know, like, so if a parent's telling me this or this behavior happened, I might say, okay, so what was your response to that? Did you feel it was helpful? Did you feel like, do you feel like you have a good strategy to work through that? I might just ask them point blank. And then if they say, yeah, or I don't know, not really, I'm like, well, here's some other things you could try. You could also try, you know, A, B, C, D, and see if that helps. Or if I'm in a session and the parent is just observing, which is always my preference, to always have the parent in the session, I might make comments when I'm noticing something, you know, that like maybe I do something and it really triggers the kid, or I do something and it's really successful with the kid. I might afterwards then point out to the parent, did you notice how this happened? So one day I had a patient where she was tolerating things really well, and all of a sudden it was like a flip switched and she suddenly couldn't handle it anymore. And I was like, oh, did you notice how we kind of hit this threshold and then she was just done? You know, there was no real warning sign. So we just talked then about how she might have like, obviously she was working hard, right, before that point, and how these types of activities are challenging for her. There was a high visual demand on her visual processing systems, and those might be activities that then trigger her, and it might be really abrupt. So you might have to cue her and say, oh, you know, were you frustrated? Are you ready to be done? You can just tell me I'm done and move on. But I definitely focus a lot. I think my primary mode of coaching a parent is through lots of positive praise. Whenever I see someone doing something, you know, I'll say something like, I really like how you did this. Did you notice how well he engaged with you when you were using more affect? Like, I love how much affect you were using, or I love how you supported him through that regulation. That was great. So you're just having them become more aware of what they're doing that is going well, and helping build up their self-esteem too. Because some of our parents, I think, come in with really low self-esteem because they feel like they've been failing their child, right? They're coming to therapy because they don't know how to manage these behaviors, and they look around them and all these other parents are managing their kids' behaviors, and they're like, why can't I be successful? And I think the other piece that goes with that is sometimes those parents also then see us be successful with those kids and think, why can't I do that? But we're using really specific strategies
that we've kind of been practicing and honing in on, we also don't have the emotional connection to the situation. And so I sometimes will talk with parents about that, about how, you know, you have to remember, one, I'm only doing this 45 minutes to an hour one day a week, and I get to walk away in the end. You have to do this 24/7, so your stamina is going to be affected for sure. It's okay to take breaks. It's okay to screw up. I screw up all the time, and I don't have to do it all the time. And I point those mistakes out to them. Like, when I do something, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have pushed so hard. I will tell the parent that, I shouldn't have done that. That clearly was their limit, and I pushed too hard, and now we have this upset. So I have those discussions with them to let them know, like, hey, it's okay to not be perfect. You're going to screw up. That's okay. You're doing this all the time, and as long as you just keep trying to make it better the next time, you're going to continue to grow. It's a really long process, and sometimes just that habit of interacting with your child over and over and over for so many years, depending on how old the child is, gets to be really stuck, and it's hard to change. We know it's hard to change habits, hard to change any habit, especially one that's so instinctive as parenting. So I like to use a lot of cues like that, lots of positive praise. And then sometimes parents are still just not getting it, and they're still not quite getting it, like what I'm trying to teach them, or it's a really sensitive subject where I feel like I have to dance around it a little bit. So some things I've done in those situations, I have given handouts to them. Sometimes I've even gone as far as making specific handouts for a patient that I said to them, this is something I typically give to our kids who are struggling with regulation. I thought this might be helpful for you. I had a patient once like this, and I did this for this parent because I kept coaching her and praising and doing all these things, and she was so explosive, the mom, that she was a huge, huge trigger for the patient, who was also extremely explosive. And I'm like, I need her to really understand how to work with him better. So I made up this handout about how to respond to a behavior rather than reacting. You know, pause, wait, like basically regulation strategies for a parent to support their child's regulation. And I printed it off and I gave it to her and I said, other parents in similar situations have found this helpful. You might too. Or I will say similar verbiage to a parent and I'll say, you know, I noticed that with other patients I have, or other patients have told me, other parents have told me in those similar situations that they've found ABC works, or they have found that, you know, when they really like looked into it, they ended up telling me that they were maybe cueing the child too much, or they were helping too much. And when they backed off a little bit and they gave them more time to problem solve, they had better success. So I kind of share those stories through my patients a little bit. Sometimes I'm making them up and sometimes I'm not, of just like, hey, this might also work for you because it's worked for others in your situation. But I never sell anything as like a definitive. I'm like, this could, and I don't know, but let's try it out. You know, it doesn't come across so stern. So one example I've done this with a lot is sometimes I have kids where they, you know, we work with them. We give them lots of sensory strategies. They get really well regulated. Things are going great at home. And then after like a few weeks or a couple months or something, the parents are coming in going, oh my gosh, my kid's a train wreck. Like, we've regressed. All these things have happened. I said, okay, let's stop a second. And I say, what I've had other parents tell me, I said, so let's pay attention, reflect back on those other weeks. Did you inadvertently, and make sure to make that clear that it wasn't intentional, did you inadvertently stop any strategies? Because I said, sometimes what happens is our kids are doing so well that the absence of those behaviors, we kind of we get used to it. We adapt more quickly to good behavior than we do to bad behavior. So when things start going well, we tend to loosen up and lax, and maybe we aren't using the same strategies that we were using before when things weren't going well. So I said, that's the first thing you want to do, is maybe just reflect and make sure that there aren't things that started slipping because things were going so well. That might be why they're not going so well now. But again, I always put it in that position of like, well, let's consider this, and here's what other parents have told me. For parents who have a really hard time in the session, whether they are having a hard time supporting regulation, they're over supporting, over cueing, jumping in too much or not enough, I will actually start the session with a conversation. So for example, I had a patient who was having pretty significant meltdowns when it was time to go. And I could sense, and every time this happened, Dad would get extremely frustrated to the point that he was dropping F-bombs in my sessions. Like, what the F is wrong with you? Get the F up, you know? And I could tell from watching it, in the initial moment, I just kind of like stepped back and I kind of let Dad handle it. And I stayed on the outside and going, I understand you're really frustrated, like to the kid, just cueing the kid. I didn't address anything with Dad because he was too dysregulated. I just addressed things with the child. Some of them were meant to indirectly send a message to Dad, you know, like, I know it's really hard to leave. I know you're frustrated. But then after I saw that happen, then the next time I said, you know, I've been thinking about his transitions and how they've been really hard, and I want to try some new strategies. So today I'm going to end a little early, and when or if he starts to have trouble, I'm going to just focus on labeling emotions. I talked him through my plan, just labeling emotions and giving him more time and seeing if we can add in some deep pressure. I might dim the lights and try to create a really calming atmosphere. So, you know, maybe this time just let me handle it. I want to try these strategies. And then Dad backed off. We had a wonderful transition. And then I got to show Dad. I prepped him with my plan. And then I got to show him I did it and it worked. And look, see, because Dad, I think otherwise, was so frustrated and felt so out of control. He felt like I should have control over my child, and he didn't. And the more control he tried to exert over the situation, the more out of control the child got. And then everybody was escalating and it became a nightmare where he had to carry him out, and it was a huge mess. So that was really helpful. Some parents I have had to just be extremely direct with and just have an open conversation about parenting and impacts on different parenting styles. So I did an evaluation once where this patient was very dysregulated, and I always try to have these conversations in the evaluation because I want to set them up already for, like, here's what to expect. I'm going to be addressing regulation, and here's how I'm going to do it. My focus is really on emotional connection, connecting emotions in the moment. That has to happen before you can use any strategy to manage your emotions, right? And I can tell usually by watching the parents interact briefly with the kid if they have a very different parenting style, and maybe one that's not so helpful for that kid, maybe one that's very authoritative. And I had this happen in an evaluation. And so I just point blank asked the parents, you know, what strategies do you currently use to manage behavior, and have you found them to be effective? And then I got a response that was alarming, I would say, but where it was lots of like, let me count down, and if you don't get over here, I'm going to spank you, or I'm going to threaten to hit you with a belt kind of stuff. This is for a child who is extremely dysregulated. So I started pointing out to them times like he would stop listening to me, and I would point out to them, like, see, that time, I don't think he actually was understanding what I was saying. Because did you notice how he only copied my actions and he didn't do anything until I showed him what to do? Because this was also a kid who had lots of language issues. But I had a conversation very openly with them, and they started talking about how that's how they treat it because that's how they were raised. And so I just asked them, are you open to learning a new strategy? You know, it sounds like what you've been doing isn't really working for him, you know, and I always try to specify that doesn't mean that it isn't an effective strategy. In this case, I would argue it's not, but sometimes parents are doing something that would work for most kids that's just not working for their kid. And I just said, are you open to trying a new strategy? And they said, yeah, we are. We actually would like to change. And I said, I think that would be really helpful because we know that emotional regulation has a huge impact on later skills. I think this is a really important skill to help him develop. That family, I don't work with them for treatment, but they still have a long ways to go. But that was a good starting point. And then at least they came in not expecting me to uphold a bunch of behaviors and lay down the law with him or the other therapist. And they recognized, like, it's okay if your child melts down and has a huge freak out. Like, you're going to see behaviors because we're working through them and he doesn't have the skills to deal with them yet. So those are a couple kiddos that I have worked with who had challenging parents in some way or the other. And I've just found different ways to kind of approach it. But sometimes you have to go really indirectly. Sometimes that also will cue the parent indirectly through the child. Like I mentioned with the one example earlier where, you know, I might say like, if a kid gets upset because they get scolded by a parent, let's say. The parent kid's upset, I'm going to label and empathize for them and go, Oh, are you feeling sad because mom is upset with you? You can say, Mom, I'm sad. I feel bad, you know, to help the parent go back to their perspective of like, your child does actually feel bad. You maybe overreacted a little bit to, you know, the situation, and they do, the kid does care, and now they're crying, and now your next job is to support them emotionally. So sometimes I'll do it that way too. But I think coaching a parent through what we're doing, educating them, is a huge, huge part of what we do. And like I said, without it, we just don't get the results that we would like to. So if you have any other tricky kids or tricky parents, rather, or other patients, if any of our other patients are giving you trouble, let me know. We can troubleshoot through it and see if we can come up with a good strategy that works for that family.